And a good rainy Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Dunnick and Chase. The gang is all here, Darren McFarland, Willie Dunnick, and Chase McCabe on a pitch count. Elijah Campbell at our Hillside Medical Games Studios. He'll be here for a half, which is okay. That's fine. We're thinking about getting the arm going again, you know, get him loosened up, and he may go a full game, full start tomorrow. Don't know. Still early. Still too early to tell.
We got
to
keep him stretched out. You know, if he becomes a short reliever, you know, he can't come out of the bullpen and throw 7-8 innings. You know, he's got to stay stretched out. So you got to keep getting that work in.
No doubt.
I mean, I had a bullpen session yesterday. Felt good.
Yeah.
You know, no soreness. I think we're good.
Good.
I mean, I got to make some
key
appearances. Otherwise, you know, Nate is going to call me out on it. So, you know, he's already stirring up trouble about promos. So,
oh well, I think I'm the one who stirred it up.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
just following
we
up.
We put you on the list.
Yeah. Well, I told him.
You didn't
well,
know
no,
that?
Not yet. No. Not yet. It's not official. So that's what I said.
That was
responded
a warning
to
shot.
His
it was
tweet.
It was a shot said, across the bow.
Yeah. Well, I said, be there tomorrow.
So we have to address this tomorrow.
And then, Willie, you can appreciate I ended the tweet by saying, I'm your Huckleberry.
Okay.
So just noon tomorrow, be there.
I'll be here. I will bring my defense.
Your defense team or just your defense?
My defense. Yossi and Ekholm.
Okay.
They're going to come in and help me out.
It's a good pair.
It's not bad. Nothing wrong with that.
They don't know that yet, but, you know, I'm sure it's
they haven't
fine.
Been informed.
They don't
sure
have a game,
fine.
So I
no,
guess.
Yeah, they're not busy. Well, I mean, Roman's busy.
Roman's supposed to be in Vegas, I guess, so could have a problem there.
The rest of them have a problem.
We have Fabro's number. Is he available?
Do you think they, Vamoose, do you think they went,
yes.
went away?
I would.
Yeah. They're probably on an island, right?
Possible.
It's possible. Outlook good. Hold on, let me shake that eight ball. Outlook
well, it doesn't
very
have to be
good.
An island. It's probably someplace warm.
Well, that's typically an island, so I would say, yeah.
Typically an island? There's not that many islands. Like, Florida is not an island, but you could go to
no.
Florida.
No, but typically they go a little bit further south, don't they?
I don't know. Well, Roman said he was gonna go to the beach in Florida, and that's when they got the news that he made the All-Star team, so they had to change plans.
Okay. Well, that's a good.
What a bummer! What a bummer! Go from Florida to Vegas.
Yeah.
Tough break. Yesterday, I was sitting in line to pick up 2 10-year-olds, and was constructing a group text to my coaches about a new kid that we're going to pick up in family. I was going to let them in on that, and I'm just sitting there, and I've got our afternoon show on in the background as I'm sitting there in line. And one, it's like, do people do this every single day? Like, wow. Like, it's just the chaos. And I feel like I'm talking to a lot of people that sit in lines at schools to pick up their kids. Like, it's crazy. It's chaos. Like, you could do probably a reality show on that alone. So I'm sitting there. I've got him on in the background. And, of course, he's just, you know, he's just dropping bombs left and right. Not F-bombs, which is good. Dropping bombs about Aaron Rodgers and he's bought land. You know, okay, yeah. So Aaron Rodgers is going to build a house here. Yeah, well, stand in line. You know, like, gosh, you know, famous people moving to Nashville for $600, Alex. I mean, that you know that there's nothing new there. But then you know he keeps going on, and of course the source says you know he'd be open to playing for the Titans, and just many, many more layers. So I just thought it was interesting. And it was I was getting text from people. Are you reporting this? And I'm like, Am I on past 2 o'clock? No, I'm sitting in a car, man. I'm not reporting anything. I'm sitting and listening to the same thing you are. So, thought it was interesting. Obviously, it's made its rounds. I mean, you put something out like that, you have to know that it's going to make its rounds. And Pro Football Talk and others have picked up on it. So, we'll see. I don't know if it means anything. George Kittle moved here, too, out of nowhere. And he's not the tight end for the Tennessee Titans. In fact,
yeah.
He signed a new deal in San Francisco. So, you know, famous people move here all the time, and it means diddly, you know, for connecting any dots. Now, Do I need to really comment on how I feel about it? No, I'm not going to waste the two of you and Elijah and our listeners' time because everybody knows where I stand on that. I mean, give me a break. If I'm pro Tom Brady 2 years ago, beating that drum for an entire offseason, that summer months, what do you think I'm going to be for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, give me a break. That was 2 years ago. Now this playoff game has played out. This season has played out. I mean, I don't really need to go there, but what do you guys make of it?
Well, we live in Nashville, so we know why there are dozens of athletes and entertainers that strike up residence. But let's just take the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of Major League Baseball players who have no connection originally to Nashville that take up residence here. Why? A, it's a great city, growing city. B, there's no state income tax. When you're a Major League Baseball player and you come to Nashville to live, you're not. That means nothing in terms of you think there's going to be a Major League Baseball team coming here. So I read zero into Aaron Rodgers building a property here. It absolutely has zero impact, I think, on what is going to happen in his future for that reason. He's obviously got the same reason for any other person moving to Nashville to have property here. You know, he's going to be probably changing addresses somewhere, but I don't think you can connect any dots beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, you know,
like Kyle Shanahan lived here for a long time. He's never coached for the Titans.
Right. I look at it like this. This is – no, he has not.
But he did live here, right? Or was it – no, Schottenheimer. Schottenheimer. Brian Schottenheimer. Not Shanahan. Brian Schottenheimer.
But I
– Rex Ryan moved here.
He still
lives here, right?
Yeah.
Never coached for the Titans, anything like that. We can go down tons of examples.
Okay, right. You're spot on. And the odds of Aaron Rodgers becoming the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, I would say is about, 0.1%, if I'm being completely honest. But it's certainly worth bringing up. I mean, with all the speculation in Green Bay and then the things that we have been talking about here the last week and a half with Ryan Tannehill and what's next there. I think it's certainly – I look at it as, okay, you got that information, definitely throw it out there. I think it's worth having a discussion about and then see what happens. But I don't foresee Aaron Rodgers being a member of the Tennessee Titans. If he was, great. I'm with you. You know, Darren, we had some big debates a couple of years ago. Do you stick with Tannehill or do you go with Brady? And I was in the stick with Tannehill camp. And I look at it now, and I still don't think it was necessarily the wrong move, but I think they've gotten about as far as they can get with him. I've always been, one to say that I think you can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill with the right pieces around him. Well, I feel like this year was a prime example of having the right pieces around him, albeit they did battle some injuries, but you get into the playoffs, everybody's back at the right time, and he threw three interceptions when it mattered the most. That's something that we're going to be talking about until he erases that from history, and I don't know if he can do that. So,
but okay, that's going to be out there the whole time. I guess I would love to hear the rationale. How would you do a deal for Aaron Rodgers? If you are going to do the math, tell me how that works. With the salary cap.
I'm not Vin Marino.
Well, obviously, Tannehill would have to be a part of the package. 100%.
What package?
Impossible.
A trade?
Well, yeah.
So the Packers are going to trade for Ryan Tannehill?
Does he have the ability? When he changed things last year, does he have the ability to walk away?
Who?
Rodgers.
Well, that's my first question.
I don't know his kind. I know he reworked.
He reworked it.
Give him like the Albert Haynesworth deal, right? Like if you come back this year, we won't franchise tag you next year, and you have the ability to walk away. I don't know. I don't know what his language says in his contract. I don't know if
– Well, they did some stuff.
I know they did some stuff, but I don't know what they did. I don't know if they said, if you come back and play this year, Aaron, in 2021, you can walk away. I don't know that. I don't know his language.
I feel like there was some sort of verbal understanding that after this year, he doesn't have to come back.
But what does that mean, a verbal understanding?
It was reported a lot.
My word is as good as oak?
No, I don't know. I'm looking at SpotRac, and no, it says so potential out.
2022.
But
so
if you read down.
After this season.
Right. If you read down, 2023 voids 7 days before 2023 league year. So basically, it's after this year, there's a void year.
So he cannot walk away this year. He would have to be traded.
No, okay. They would have to.
So his cap number, is 46.6.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfectly worth that, right? Considering
Tannehill's going to almost $40 million, yes.
Well, Tannehill's 38, but that's the problem. If you trade Tannehill, you still are responsible for a huge chunk of that. So it's even if you swapped him straight up, which I don't think they're going to be able to do, right? You're still going to do something else to get that done.
You would have to make other moves to make this work.
If you trade him before June 1st, which I would think I would think Aaron Rodgers would want to know where he's going to play before June 1st, that's $28 million for the Titans in dead cap money. True?
Yes.
28 mil. So it's 46 for Rodgers and 28 for Tannehill. So that's, do the math there, that's almost $70 million for your quarterback. I love Aaron Rodgers. But then are we saying they're just going to swap him straight up?
No.
Okay. But you have to.
So what's going to be? Three first-round picks? Four first-round picks?
No.
What's it going to be?
Two
and Tannehill?
Is your net?
I don't know if Green Bay does that.
Okay,
well, why at his age? If he's, if he doesn't want to be there?
Okay, no, forget about that. Let's just say he wants to be here. You know they want him. Okay, so you're budgeting that almost $70 million for your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving up. Let's just say it's two first round picks. Okay,
it's going to be more than that.
Okay, let's say it's more than that. What other players do you have to let go to make that happen?
You have to, Julio.
Okay, but that's dead. That's more dead cap space.
Well, no,
huge,
but
$13 million.
No. If you wait till after June 1st for Julio, then it's cheaper.
Cheaper.
It's like $4 million.
Is it? Oh, I thought it was a little.
But
bit
he's
more
still
than
under contract for the following year. That's all it is.
Yeah, if you wait till after June 1st,
which
you're still eating some money.
There's still a big penalty.
That's about as good as you can walk in.
You're not bringing back Harold Landry.
Okay.
I mean that's
your,
I don't
your
see
left
that
side
happen.
Of your offensive line is probably gone.
Okay. See, this is where I'm going. There's going to be a lot of other things you have to do. So
yeah, don't forget
the
net
cap result
is going up like 20 something million.
Yes, but that's not that much when you get down to it, really.
it is in my book.
Not for the amount of moves that they've got to make.
Here's the thing. Can it be done? Yes, it can be done. We have seen in the NFL.
The Rams are proof of that.
That these GMs, and Floyd talked about this for years, you can finagle the cap however you need to finagle the cap. Now, it's going to bite you at some point. You're going to have to pay for it. It's like a credit card. You're going to have to pay for it at some point. But if they really wanted to do it, they could do it. But they would have to sacrifice some stuff.
Okay, we're going to table this because we are definitely coming back and talking about it because I want to discuss going for it and what does that mean. But we'll do that a little bit later. When we come back. Pretty cool story locally. I brought it up on Monday. Three guys, Nashvillians, that are playing in the Super Bowl, right? And one of those guys is Van Jefferson, and we're going to talk to Ravenwood's coach, Will Hester, who coached him. So we're going to do that on the other side as you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back around Darren, Donick, and Chase on this rainy Thursday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Our show brought to you by Creation CBD products, curated for life. Let's head out to Williamson County. Let's bring in Ravenwood's football coach, Will Hester, on the line with us.
Coach,
good morning,
Hester.
Coach. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Thanks for doing this.
No, absolutely. Love to. I always enjoy talking about our former players.
Well, I was going to say, you kind of know a player that's going to be playing here in, what, about 11 days on the biggest stage that we've got in sports in Van Jefferson. You had a pretty special team in 2015 that won the state title. Just take us behind the walls. Take us behind the curtain and tell us, you know, I haven't had any experience around Van Jefferson, but, you know, what was he like to coach?
I mean, exactly what you would expect out of someone who's going to end up having a phenomenal professional career. I mean, you know, first off, he's the son of former Titans receivers coach and current Cardinals receiver coach Sean Jefferson, who played 14 years in the league himself and in two Super Bowls with the Patriots and Bill Parcells. So, obviously, you know, from the time he was born and the time he could walk, he was preparing for this opportunity. You know, he was probably as prepared a high school football player as I've ever had in my 23 years of doing this. And he's just a special human being. You know, his dad, as you would expect with an NFL coach, has to work a bunch. And so most of his, I guess, you know, day-to-day upbringing was done by his mom, who's a wonderful, wonderful person. Who, you know, cares and loves deeply for everyone she comes in contact with. And he is kind of, you know, taking on that personality as far as how he is as a man off the field. And you know, he's his dad on the field. So I'd say he's kind of got the best of both worlds when it comes to mom and dad.
When did you know? I mean, he would obviously go on to play in the SEC, and now he's in the NFL. But when did you know just the athlete? You've described kind of the person also along with that athlete, but when did you know there was something special there other than just his last name? When did you know athletic? You know, by the way, some kids have their parents' last name, you know, or their dad's last name who played at a high level, and it doesn't always translate. When did you know with him?
Yeah, I would say it was probably the summer between his junior and senior year of high school. So when he got here, he was a scrawny little beanpole of a sophomore who had just moved in from Detroit. And was he a great football player? Absolutely. He would have probably been an all-state football player and done all those things, but he was weighed 150 pounds. And he probably grew two more inches and put on 30 pounds of good weight between his junior season and his senior season. He had the opportunity to go to what was probably the premier summer event for the guys coming out at the Nike opening back then, and had a great performance there, and you know, was chosen to play in the Army All-American game and played well there. So, you know, you begin to see that he was going to be able to compete at the highest level with the best athletes at that time at his age. And then, you know, he starts out at Ole Miss and was there with AJ and DK and all those guys during that time at Ole Miss. And after Coach Freeze left, or was asked to leave, I guess you could say, he ended up at Florida and finished up his last 2 years there and did really, really well at Florida with Felipe and Kyle Trask. So, I mean, it became pretty clear, I would say, right before his senior year of high school.
We were talking to Coach Will Hester at Ravenwood. And, Coach, good to talk to you again. We spent a lot of time talking to you on Friday nights with Joe Dubin and Sudzo on the game blitz after games. So always was a good time. But I remember 2014, that heartbreaker against Maryville in the state title game in overtime. You guys lose 35-34. What did you see out of Van then? You know, when you're at a low point, the high points are great, but you learn so much about a player when they have a tough time.
Well, I mean, you know, and that was his senior year, right? So that was his last high school game. You know, unfortunately, he wasn't on the team. They got to go back the next year. But, you know, what you do see from Van is you see him in the locker room after the game telling those junior and sophomore kids that, hey, listen, you know, we've laid the foundation. We know we're good enough to win this game. Now you go do it. And, you know, those guys took those words to heart, and the next year they were able to go do it against the same Maryville team the following season. So, you know, just a great leader on and off the field, a great young man, and now a great father. You know, there's a lot of the NFL posted a picture of him with his daughter on the field after the game. And, you know, to me as a coach, those are some of the most special moments. You know, you prepare them athletically. You can make sure they're doing what they need to do academically. But when you see them being good husbands and fathers and contributing positively to society, you know, those are, in my opinion, the best moments as a coach.
So, you know, as I mentioned, we talked to you way back in the day with Ravenwood. You left to start Nolensville, and now you're back at Ravenwood. What was it like to be back back with the Raptors this year?
It was pretty awesome. You know, at times it was almost like we hadn't left. You know,
turned left into the school like I had so many times before. And, you know, my office was in the same spot. The little difference on the good grass, we from regular grass to synthetic turf. But, you know, Ravenwood is what it always has been. It's a special place. And if it wasn't for those pesky Wade twins, we might have had a chance to play for a state championship this year. But they're pretty darn good.
Oh, they are. I mean, they're special. I know, obviously, you want that. But, you know, and I remember in doing these shows, Summit, when they started as a program, and now you see them now. But that was a tough one, but a lot of talent.
Oh, absolutely. Great, great high school football games. A lot of guys that are going to be playing on Saturdays and some on Sundays that played in those games this year. And, you know, football in Middle Tennessee from a high school standpoint is as good as it's ever been, and we're putting more guys out into the college ranks, which will eventually be into the NFL ranks. I mean, you know, how crazy is it there's three guys that all prepped high school football in Middle Tennessee that are playing for the Rams come the Super Bowl, and Bryson Hopkins and obviously Jalen Ramsey and Van.
Talking to Coach Will Hester from Ravenwood. Coach, just before we let you go, I'd love to get a high school coach's perspective on as you develop players, and as you said, you got the big vision. You want all your players to go on to success in life, not just in football. But we know it's real stressful right now for parents, and I'm sure for you, as you try to maneuver through all of this transfer portal stuff, which has created a logjam, you know, put that on top of COVID, where you've got a lot of players with extra eligibility, it's creating issues with the system. How do you try to manage that?
You know, it's very difficult. I would say for a high school kid especially, the recruiting process is more difficult now than maybe it's ever been. I mean, I would even go back to the days of, you know, when we were all coming out and you were making VHS tapes and you were mailing them off. I mean, you know, at least at that point, you know, every signing class or every roster, you know, each year was going to be built with kids coming out of high school, you know, or kids coming out of junior college. You know, now, not only are you competing against those guys, you're also competing against a kid who may have started at another school and has decided that, you know, because of the portal and because of the opportunities with NIL and those kinds of things, will, you know, be a free agent of sorts and can transfer in. So it's very difficult. I think you see a lot of programs who are trying to win now because most coaches, you know, feel like there's a three-year window that they have to win or that they have to, you know, they're going to get asked to move on. You know, a lot of those guys that are feeling that pressure are living in the portal world and kind of trying to, I guess, if you will, you know, jumpstart their program at times. So it's definitely very difficult. I think you just got to continue to be transparent. I think what you've seen is that a lot of guys that would have been like group of five guys that are now ended up FCS guys, and those guys that were FCS guys are now D2 guys, and it kind of trickles down, and I think you're going to see more kids going the, you know, the fifth-year prep route to try to at least, you know, get another year, and hopefully this thing will kind of write itself out.
Coach, as we wrap this up, do you know your schedule yet for next year?
Absolutely. You know, it's the exact same schedule as last year, except we're flipping sites. So, okay. Yeah, we know exactly who we got opening up at home with Montgomery Bell Academy. So.
Oh, that's going to be a good one for sure. Love it.
Yeah, Chris.
We'll get Chris Sanders on.
Reed, so.
We'll get Chris Sanders on to talk smack. Good. We'll send you the tape.
Sounds great. I can't wait.
Good to talk to you, Coach. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely, guys.
Will Hester, head coach at Ravenwood. He was one of those regulars. Every week we talked to him Friday nights after his game.
I can see why.
Oh, yeah, always great. And
so I goofed at the beginning, right? I thought he was on the 2015. So he was on the year before the heartbreak loss?
Yes.
I thought he was on the 2015 year was his last year. So
yeah, he
– my bad.
Yeah, he that team was so special in 2014. I mean, they ran through everybody. And then, like so many school, you know, Oakland's been through this. You hit the buzzsaw that is Maryville. It was a fantastic game. Comes down to the wire, and if I recall, I think they went for the win. They went for two to win the game and didn't get it. And so they lost in overtime, 35-34, and just a heartbreaker. But yeah, that was Van's last game as a Raptor. So there you go, Willie. Tell us about Lee Company.
All right, be glad to tell you about Lee Company. Let's talk 567-1000, area code 615. Lee Company, let's emphasize today with it pouring rain. I mean, if you're a homeowner, your house takes a beating. You know, over time, the elements, all of those things, there's wear and tear, and you need a good home maintenance plan. And that's exactly what Lee Company has for you, the home maintenance plan. They want your house operating efficiently over time, nonstop. To do that, you need annual checkups on those systems that keep your house running. Your heating, your cooling, your plumbing, your electric. That's what they do. Annual checkups on all four of those areas, and they'll find the little problems when it's time to get repairs. They'll find it before they become crisis situations. That's the idea. And it's going to save you money over the long time, on the long term, because it's preventive maintenance. So sign up for this home maintenance plan, because you get discounts on those repairs if and when they are needed. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. Tell them you want to be a part of that home maintenance plan. Sign up. You'll pay a small monthly fee. And like I said, you're going to save money because you get those discounts on the repairs. It's worked for our house for 6-7 years now. We've been working with Lee Company. 567-1000, area code 615-LeeCompany.com.
ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's Nashville's official home. Get ready for a chase. Get ready of NASCAR.
I'm ready.
Woohoo! Dale. Come on, Dale. Tune in Sunday, February 6th.
Praise hell, praise Dale.
Come on, Dale. You can do it. 1:30, the inaugural Bush Clash at the L.A. Coliseum.
How did they put the track in there? I know this is – I know they're – I'm just – I haven't read the story, but there's not, there hasn't been a track there last time I checked, right?
No.
There's been a running track from the Olympics.
No. But they basically...
They're not using the same track.
It's not the same one that Carl Lewis and Edmund Moses ran?
It'll be different.
No, it'll be a little bit different. But yes, the Bush Clash is at 1:30 on Sunday. Chasing Checkers debuts Sunday at 8. Moving to Sundays for this season, since we're airing the races, it kind of makes sense to do the racing show on race day. So,
did you come up with that, or was that your team that came up with that?
What, to move the show?
Yeah.
No, that was me. That was right out of this noggin right here.
Yeah, that's something.
That's the People's PD working for you.
People's PD.
That's why you got that position, man.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will be my first guest of the season.
Okay. So, how's Danica?
They broke up. I don't know.
How are her and Aaron doing?
They broke up, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dating. Is she dating somebody? Do we know Elijah? Do we care?
I don't know. The answer is no. No, we don't.
Yeah, I don't know. But looking forward to that. To answer your question, Willie.
Hope she's still a really cool person.
Worst interview I've ever been a part of. They cover the field, and they paved a temporary track. They will pull the track up.
How long is the track? It's got to be pretty short.
Quarter mile. Quarter mile. So they're going to pack 36 cars on a quarter mile. And
how's that going to
let them rip? They're going to tear it.
What's Bristol, for example?
Half mile.
So this is shorter than Bristol.
Yes.
So this is going to be a lot of.
And it's not banked.
Mixer
bowl. There's hardly any banking. So, I mean, this is flat. Now, this isn't the first time, obviously, they've raced in a stadium. There's a very famous Bowman Gray Stadium in North Carolina that has races. They actually tested the car at Bowman Gray Stadium to see how it would maneuver, and with this new car, it's going to be okay, but they're going to tear it up. I mean, they're going to beat and bang, and they're going to do this kind of old-school short track style with heat races, and then they'll have a feature. So I guess they won't have 36 cars on at the same time because they're going to split it up into heats and all of that, but it's going to be something. Yeah.
I assume that USC is not practicing.
No, they're
spring practice while this is going
on.
They
had to find somewhere else.
So are they going to let the crazies in the infield like they do at Talladega and stuff?
I don't think so. There's not a lot of room.
Darren loves going to the infield. You know, he's done it for the Kentucky Derby. I think he should do it for the L.A. Coliseum.
That was – the problem is I didn't see a horse when I went to the
you
infield.
You never saw a horse?
No, I never saw a horse.
So you've looked at – you've seen the pictures.
Yeah, right? I saw the pictures.
So they have
– I was just thinking that's super short to have a race. I was just
it's a quarter mile. I mean, that's – it's been done, but not with.
How long is the old Nashville Speedway? Is that bigger than a quarter?
Three eighths.
Three eighths. Okay.
Yep, 3/8 of a mile. So the The shortest track in NASCAR, I guess, is Martinsville Speedway, which is just under a half. Bristol's a half mile. Richmond is three quarters of a mile. And then Fairgrounds is 3/8. So there you
go. All right. All right. Now I know something.
This is what I wanted to say, because we had to step away to talk to Will Hester, and that was good. That was cool to hear about Van Jefferson. Local kid, really cool, playing in the Super Bowl. The reason that it's – and I understand, and Willie's always going to go – and I get it. There is the business element that you have to bring into this, and it has to be a real conversation, because it's just not as easy as playing fantasy football and saying, okay, with the – my pick, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's not how it works. This is reality. But here's why, Alexa, be quiet. This is why it's vitally important. Because they are in this window, and we've talked about it all season, where they have gotten people back for the first time in a long time. Hold on a second. Alexa! Don't know why she decided just to start talking forever. Sorry. Did you guys hear that?
No.
Yes.
I couldn't.
Oh, my gosh. He was just rambling on. I don't know what she was talking about. Maybe Aaron's new home. Maybe she saw the plans. They are in this window right now where they've gotten people back for the first time in a long time. Like, they're all in again. Now, the tires, they're a little bit deflated, right? They're a little bit low on PSI. We've all had that, right, where we have to go, hey, low tire, rear, driver's side, rear tire, a little bit low, need to put a little air in it. Now, they lost some air with this loss to the Bengals and the way the season ended. But they've gotten people back, and you don't want to lose that. And right now, it's teetering, because if you don't take that next step after you just lost some air, then you're in the danger zone, because you're in the danger zone of people checking back out again. And I just think they're in that window where you've got to go. Look, you brought it up yesterday, Willie, and I'm the one that said it back – when we first started talking about this, like, there's no guarantees, and I used the Eddie George example. When he had turf toe, I thought Eddie George was made in a lab. I thought he was invincible. I thought he was RoboCop. I didn't think you could do anything to slow down Eddie George. He had turf toe, and he was never the same. We didn't think that was going to happen. That's how it played out. I don't think Derrick Henry can't return to old Derrick Henry, but we don't know. Like, what if he doesn't? What if he's not the same running back? What if he's got to run to the left more and everybody figures that out, that he can't run to the right with his plant leg and he's running to the left, everybody sniffs that out, and the next thing you know, Derrick Henry's going for 62 yards a game. I don't think that's going to happen, but what if? You're in this window where you've got to capture this now, right now, and if you're in that window of capturing something quick and right now, Aaron Rodgers at 38 years old, he just turned 38 in December, then that is your – if you're looking for a fast track, that's your fast track.
Yeah, I mean –
But at what cost? Does your net team become better if you're trading away all your first-round picks, you already don't have a second-round pick, and you have to cut – X amount of key players, veteran players, just to get him in under the cap? I don't know that the answer is yes.
And here's, can I say this real quick, Chase, before you jump in? Because, Willie, I understand it's easy to say this, and I'm not trying to make a joke and it's a throwaway line. I'm being somewhat serious. Is really a first-round pick? John Robinson's done a whole lot of good since he's been here. But first-round picks have not been his strength at all. We know that. Like, it's actually been a weakness. Is losing a first-round pick really that big of a deal for what he's done here with first-round picks?
It's not just your first-round pick. It's your first-round pick and any ability to address any other needs. What money would you have left over? You're only going to subtract from your current group if you were to try to make this done for next year. Do you guys agree with that? Like, what money would you have to go address other needs in free agency? You guys talk about the tight end all the time. Who's your tight end?
I mean,
you're not going to draft one, and you're not going to get a free agent pickup. So there you go. So now
why
you're
can't you draft one?
Okay, you draft one in the third round. You don't have a first round pick. You don't have a second round pick.
Well, ask LA to give you back, or I mean, Green Bay to give you back a second round pick with your two first rounds you sent.
They're
to
not
going to
do that.
I mean, but you see what I'm saying? You're going to take away all of your ability to massage and service your roster. You're putting everything on hold for that, and you would pay an exorbitant amount just for your quarterback.
Well, I mean, you're already paying a pretty good amount, but you're going to pay even more to get rid of the guy that you're paying.
You're almost doubling it.
Right. I mean, that's the problem. Here's the other thing that we haven't even brought up. How much does Aaron Rodgers want to continue to play with Devontae Adams? You know, what factor does that have?
Look, if he wants to get out of Green Bay, then I think he's got to park that.
Okay, well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I guess Green Bay could franchise tag Devontae Adams if they really wanted to. I don't know if they will, but he's going to be a free agent if they don't do that. So,
but the Packers are supposed to sit here and say, yes, we'll do whatever you want, Aaron. I mean, they have a say in this. And two, if in this fantasy world
– they do and they don't.
If I was going to say, they've been down that road, and that really bit him in the butt.
Because you know what he could do? If he goes to them, and there's all these mixed reports of that they've made up and, you know, whatever. But if he's like, guys, I'm ready to do something different. I just want to go somewhere else. They could say, nah, we're not going to trade you. You got 1 year left on your contract. You got to play here. He can go, all right, well, been a good career. I'm out. He could do that.
Okay.
So he does have a little more he has a little more control.
He has a lot of leverage. Green Bay, are they going to trade for Ryan Tannehill? Would they have any interest in that?
I don't know.
I believe the answer is no.
Probably not. If they've
drafted Jordan Love, so you're going to have a 30 whatever it costs for Green Bay to take on Tannehill's contract. I don't know what the math is there. They don't have to pay the full lot because the signing bonus goes on the dead cap space to the Titans.
Yeah, 38.6 is the cap hit. The dead cap is 57.4 for Tannehill.
So, I mean, there might be some reworking there, et cetera, but you're not going to pay a backup that much. So they have no use for Tannehill. So you would need to get a third team involved that would have an interest in Tannehill.
And that could be – I mean, there's a lot of teams that right now are in the market, right, as Tom Brady's
retired. Well, there always are.
Pittsburgh's lost their quarterback in New Orleans. Who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, there are a lot of teams that are going to be looking for a starting quarterback, for sure.
So
maybe
that,
Houston.
That's further complicated. I go down – the more I go down this road, the more I come back to the same thing I have thought all along. And John Robinson said it on the record. 2 days ago, that they've done a lot of good things, and it's not smart, as so many people are doing, overreacting to a guy having a bad game on one day, like the worst day. I know if he throws two interceptions and not three, I would argue they still win the game, and they might still be playing. Ryan Tannehill has done a lot of really good things. I wouldn't mess too much with what they have. If you feel like you can reasonably improve your team from this year to next year without doing these bending over backwards moves to try to bring in Rodgers but lose X, Y, Z and more, plus mortgage your future, I think you're better off doing it this way.
All right, we'll come back. We'll continue the discussion to wrap up hour number one next. If you're out in the Hermitage area today, Blood Assurance. Stop in there, 4686 Lebanon Pike. You can register to win tickets to the Predators Outdoor Stadium game at the end of this month, plus one lucky winner will receive a Predators Stadium game jersey. That's Blood Assurance in Hermitage today. We'll be out there doing that. So you'll see the game vehicle. Stop in there and register to win. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Products curated for life. What to do? When you say the Ryan Tannehill, the problem and the pushback you're going to get with, he's been all right. He has been.
He's been more than all right.
The last 2 years, when you're ultimately judged on how the season ends, you're going the wrong way. The last 2 years, you've been one and done in the playoffs, and he has not been good at all.
No question.
And you are ultimately judged on that. Fair or unfair, that's how you're judged. And
well, that's not that's, wise. That's if you're only judging on that, then that's not fair.
Well, when you get paid, when you play that position and you get paid the way he's been paid, you know, you are that's the way it is.
Yes, but you have to evaluate when you're evaluating a player, it's wise not to just evaluate on that.
Well, if you're going to pay him to lead you to the promised land,
you have to get to the playoffs first.
And they've done that, and they've been one and done. At home, both times. At home.
They're
2 years in a row, one and done.
They're 30-13.
It's irrelevant.
Are we gonna, are we going to do this again, Willie? It is all about
– I'm not I don't want to go down this road again. I'm just saying I like Ryan Tannehill and what he has done. I am not overreacting to the one game. You guys are overreacting to one game.
I'm not overreacting.
I've said this for 2 years. Everybody's just now trying to join the party. I've been saying it for 2 years.
So maybe you like it like it was before?
And you've been pushing back for 2 years, and that's fine. But this is not new discovery for me. This is for a lot of people. They're like, okay, now I get it. Yeah, you probably need to upgrade a quarterback.
Everybody would love to upgrade to Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about the practicality of it.
Yeah.
It's not practical.
It's not practical, and neither is the Russell Wilson thing. You don't. It's not practical. It's a great thought. Everybody would love to have a quarterback who is better than Ryan Tannehill. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are better than Ryan Tannehill. I grant you, that's not even close. It's not even worth discussing. But there is a huge price to pay to try to even go down that road, and to me, the net result is not worth it.
Here is the question that everybody should be asking right now, because Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback for the Titans when they open the season.
Yes, he is.
I think if you're being realistic,
bracing everybody,
you know that. The question is, do you trust John Robinson to address what's next at the quarterback position?
Yes, he got Ryan Tannehill. He had Marcus Mariota.
He got Ryan Tannehill, but he
turned him into.
He's never drafted. I know he's drafted some quarterbacks, but he's never drafted a future starting quarterback.
Are you saying we need to change John Robinson and get him? They've had six straight winning seasons.
I'm not saying you need to change John Robinson at all. I'm asking, do you trust him to draft the franchise quarterback? He's never done that before.
He had never been a GM before he got this job, and he's led him to six straight winning seasons and two division titles.
You're taking this as a negative. I'm not. I'm just asking a question. I'm not making this a negative at all.
You act like it's so easy for anybody to come in and, oh, just get me a quarterback. Sure, I'll draft a quarterback. Go get Russell Wilson. Go get Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, quarterbacks are easy to find.
Darren, what did I ask him? I just said, do you trust John Robinson to draft a quarterback?
Absolutely, yes.
I think it's a fair question. Because
it's hard to draft a quarterback.
It's hard to draft any position. It's hard to draft
the Bears.
Right tackle.
Ask apparently. The Bears if you trust the Bears to draft a quarterback. There's a lot of teams that have flunked
and
several times. The Titans have flunked several times
drafting
a quarterback.
This organization has.
Exactly. It's hard to do. Every organization has, except for the ones that were really, really fortunate. Like the Packers,
the last GM of the Titans to truly get it right was Floyd with McNair. And Vince had the one good year. But ultimately, I don't consider that a success.
Willie, you know, because you poked fun at me a lot, I was doing what Stephen Ross was doing on the air. I was saying tank for Trevor. Maybe I would have been included in the lawsuit. But you laughed and you laughed.
Yes.
And what was my whole reasoning?
The Browns
what was my reasoning? Get the elite, no-brainer quarterback. Let's get an elite quarterback in this market for the first time ever.
Yes, and the fact is we don't know for sure that Trevor Lawrence is elite. That's what I argued at the time.
We don't.
And you would have missed out on all the fun we've had the last, you know, since you made that statement. They've won two divisions, and it's been kind of fun to watch the Titans. As you said, you got people's attention. You got full houses. You got high rating. Everything's going well. You would have sacrificed that all to have some 1-15s and throw games like the Dolphins owner to get Trevor Lawrence.
Do you think I was dangerously close to being named in that lawsuit?
Yeah. Connecting the dots, Darren. If you had any extra connections to Miami, well, I'd really wonder.
You know I don't have any money, so I couldn't pay anybody off to take
games.
That's
true. You're off the hook.
Yeah. So that pretty much scratches me off the list. I understand it's hard, and this whole business thing, it makes it virtually impossible. So what does all this mean? I mean, everybody else is going to face obstacles, so if Russell Wilson is on the move and Aaron Rodgers is on the move, how is somebody else going to be able to make it work? I mean, everybody's – it's obstacles no matter what. You're going to have to move mountains no matter what. The Rams had to move mountains to get Matthew Stafford to L.A., and they did.
And
they chose to do it.
And they're one win away from it paying off.
Yeah.
If they win, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens because eventually they're going to have to pay for it. Like they're not going to have draft capital, so they're not going to be able to you know reload. They're going to lose these guys, and eventually they're going to suck again. But guess
Look,
what?
It's happened
they'll have a trophy.
In Tampa. It's happened in Tampa. They went for it, right? What did they do? They won the Super Bowl,
and now they're
and
not going to
they
be
brought
right
everybody
in.
Back, and they knew they were going to be in salary cap hell. And now Gronk is going to retire, Brady's retired, and Godwin's on the move, and Antonio Brown's probably out of the league forever, and they're going to suck again. They're going to go back to – they might as well just bring back the orange – you know, orange creamsicle jerseys, uniforms, because they're going to suck again. But you know what? Was it worth it? Were those 2 years worth it in the Tampa Bay market? I think the people that were at that parade, they'll probably say it was worth it.
It was definitely worth
it. The boat
They were not as close. That was – like every situation is different. The Rams is an interesting one. I think that is the one that if you're arguing
– well, let me read
let's
this.
Move the mountains to try to get another quarterback in. You look at what the Rams have done.
Yeah.
And then you ask yourself,
this
is
the perfect
that what
way
you
to
want to try to do?
This is the perfect way to describe it. Randy on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Rams weren't practical, and they're in the Super Bowl. I'll do impractical. I mean, you think about some of the moves they did that could blow up in their face. If they lose, like it's not worth it, and they're going to get criticized for it. But if it works, then... hey, they got the trophy. That's all that matters.
Going for it does not always work, but right now this is the new hot thing. It's working for the Rams, and so it becomes the new hot thing. But teams go for it all the time,
but
it doesn't work.
They made
out.
Their team better. I don't know that these moves for the Titans make the Titans better.
Because it's not just the quarterback they made too. They also traded for OBJ. They also threw in a bunch of picks for
Sony Michel.
Sony Michel when Cam Akers went down. Like it wasn't just the quarterback move that put them over the top.
They pushed
overhauled.
Their chips. Right. They pushed their chips all in the middle of the table.
Stan Kroenke said, "I want a ring."
Yeah. I mean, I'm moving into my new stadium and I want a ring. We're hosting the Super Bowl. I want a ring. Here's my chips. I'm all in. Who wants to call? And that's what he did. All right, we'll come back. Martin Gramatica is going to join us. We're going to talk about the fallout of Tom Brady leaving. Did he know this day was coming? We'll get into all the particulars with him to start hour number two. That's next.